G'day wherever you may be around the world. Thank you for your company. It's time for another Spiritual Baby Speed Study on Truth to You. That's truth number two, letter U.org. G'day, Mr. Spiritual Babies.
G'day, Jono.
We've had a few requests. You put it out to the people on Facebook. What do you want us to chat about? What should we look into? And we had a lot of responses, one of which we're going to be looking at today, because it's not the only person who asked about this topic, strangely enough. I'm not really sure why, but a lot of people want to know. I guess in the last few months, we've had a lot of requests in regards to this topic. What are we looking at?
We are looking at the fourth man and the flames. So in the fire mentioned in Daniel 5, the furnace, there's a fourth character, and we're going to have a little look at what it says about that fourth character.
It's a bit of a curious one. So that's Daniel chapter 3. Where should we... Well, I should read through. Now, obviously, everyone knows the story. It's a great story, I have to admit. Daniel's not my favorite book in the Tanakh, but there are some great stories here. And this is the one where Nebuchadnezzar, he makes a gold statue of himself and decides that everyone should bow down and worship it. You know, what a great idea, he thinks. And everyone does, except for these certain Jews that it mentions, 3 verse 18. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. I may as well keep reading. What do you reckon?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, this is what it says. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in a rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke to them. Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? How about that to end with? Who is the God that will deliver you from my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, Mr. Spiritual Baby, so much so that the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke the command that they heat up the furnace 7 times more than it is usually heated, and he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind the guys and chuck them into the fiery furnace. And then these men were bound in their coats and their trousers and their turbans and the other garments, and they were all cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And therefore, because the king's command was so urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flames of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Can you imagine it? I mean,
I know.
It's like, hey, you guys there, you're men of valor in my army. You're like my best soldiers. I'll pick you guys. Yeah, pick up those 3 guys and go and chuck them in that. What? Yeah, you do it. You do it now. And so they do so, and in their attempt to do so, because it's so blazingly hot, they pass out and obviously, you know, burn within the flames that are licking out of the furnace. And verse 23, and these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And then the king Nebuchadnezzar, was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not just cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered, and they said to the king, true, O king. Verse 25, and this is one of the, this is probably, I guess, the most talked about verse in this story. Mm. Nebuchadnezzar says, look, he answered, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth, now I'm reading from the New King James, and we're going to be talking about this in a minute, the form of the fourth is like the Son of God, I've got in capital letters.
Okay.
What are you reading from?
I read a few versions. Now I have to say that the Son of God line in the King James is in the minority when it comes to translations, in that most of the others say like a son of the gods.
That's right. We're gonna get back to that in just a minute. It's interesting, though.
Yeah.
Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the fiery furnace, obviously not near as the other guys, but he went right near, and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire, and the satraps, what's a satrap?
I think these are all of the, you know, the entourage of the king.
All right. These guys, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw the men on whose bodies fire had no power. The hair on their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not even on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel, I'm going to be talking about that in a minute, and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own. So there it is. Where to begin, Mr. Spiritual Babies?
I love these little things in the details where they say that because he charged the furnace so quickly, they didn't have a time to let it cool down. So, you know, when you make a fire, the flame burns brightest when it's first started, and then the coals, and they say, so, you know, it's the flames that killed the three brave men. And it just shows the haste in which he kind of went, got angry.
He was furious.
And, he didn't take any time to kind of consider his opinion or his decision. Yeah. He just threw them in. That's kind of cool. And the gold statue, most scholars believe the gold statue was of Nabu as well. And because of Nebuchadnezzar's name.
Right. Okay. Well, now we better talk about Nabu then, because I always assumed that the gold statue was of Nebuchadnezzar himself. But everyone's saying, well, who is Nabu? Well, if we go to verse 25, look, he answered, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Now, I do have an asterisk there, Mr. Spiritual Babies. And by the way, in the New King James, the Son of God is in capitals. Right, so they're making an assertion there. If I follow down to find the little asterisk, then it says, or a son of the gods, as you mentioned. Now, the question has to be asked, what did that mean to Nebuchadnezzar when he said that? Mm-hmm. I remember, you know, Sunday school, Mr. Spiritual Babies, and like I went to Christian schools, and we were always led to believe that the fourth person in the fire was Jesus.
Right, yeah, but no, you're right. It's Jesus, or I've read in some cultures, in some, like in Orthodox Christianity, they think it's the angel Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had a big fiery sword, so they associate the two. And he even gets his own day, 2 weeks before Christmas in Orthodox Christianity. There is a celebration, and they read that story.
Really?
About Michael, yeah.
There you go. And then there are some denominations that believe that the Archangel Michael is Jesus.
Right.
Bit of overlap there as well.
Yeah. What's going on?
Well, I do remember very specifically being led to believe that the fourth person is, of course, Jesus when I was growing up. But, you know, if we look at it and we think about it and we think, you know, a son of the gods, well, who are the gods? Who are the gods? Because it's in, actually, this whole passage here is in one of the rare areas of the Tanakh that includes, that is written in Aramaic, right?
That's right. Actually, I did a quick list. So the word that's used there for gods is Elohim, and it's used 9 times exclusively in Daniel and exclusively when a Babylonian or Assyrian is speaking, and 8 out of 9 times it's Nebuchadnezzar. Now, I can run through them quickly if you like.
Sure.
So Daniel 2:11, it says gods. The word means gods there, and I think it's one of Nebuchadnezzar's advisors. Daniel 2:47, and the king answered to Daniel. So there's a king speaking, and it's gods again. And he actually says, is your God a god of the gods? And the god's word in that sentence is Elohim. So again, that's a plural of gods. And it's so exclusively 3:25, gods. And again, that's Babylonian speaking, so it's in Aramaic. 4:8, finally, Daniel came into my presence, speaking about, this is from Nebuchadnezzar's own mouth. And again, gods, Elohim. And Daniel 4:9, Elohim, gods. 4:18, gods, Elohim. 5:11, and 514. All of them are from, I want to say, a pagan tongue, speaking about what their perception of gods, and none of those is pointed to Jehovah. So at no point in those, the only 9 instances of that word being used, is that in reference to Jehovah. They're always in reference to Nebuchadnezzar's gods, plural.
Instead of B'nai Elohim, it's Bar Elohim. Is that right?
Right. Yep.
Okay. Now, Bar is the Aramaic for son. Uh-huh. And I'll tell you what, we could have a conversation about Psalm 2, verse 12. But we don't have time for that, Mr. Spiritual Babies. We're going to keep going. But Bar is son in Aramaic. Now, Polytheistic Society of Babylon. There was a main god, though. What was his name?
I think it's Marduk.
It's Marduk.
Right. And I think even Nebuchadnezzar, didn't he name his son after Marduk?
Oh, he might have done.
I think he did.
Okay. And now, who is the son of Marduk?
That's Nabu.
Nabu is the son of Marduk. Now, do we know what he looks like?
We know from images of him that he is obviously he looked like a man, and he was related to writing and literature.
He was the writer. He was the god of wisdom and writing, but he had a pretty rockin' beard from what I can tell.
Yeah, I think lots of those characters, those Persian kind of characters, had those massive, big braided beards.
It's awesome. They've got great beards. So I'm going to get back to that too. So there you go. So now, the question becomes, Mr. Spiritual Babies, is Nebuchadnezzar saying that the fourth person in the fire looks like Nabu, or is he saying something else? I mean, I think it's fair to come to that conclusion. I mean, this is the son of Marduk, who is their main god in this polytheistic pantheon of Babylon. So is it possible? So this is the question. And I've got – so this is what I've got. Let me tell you what I have asserted in the New King James, as I said. They want you to believe it's Jesus, at least in the text, because what they do and that's called a Christophany or a Theophany. That is an appearance of Christ pre-incarnate. Or a theophany, if you believe that Christ is God, then it's an appearance of Christ as God before he became flesh. Okay. This is in Christian theology anyhow. That's what they want you to believe. So it says that the fourth is like the Son of God. They've capitalized that. I had a look at the study notes in my trusty New King James. And what it says, it doesn't have a great deal in the study notes, but it does have an in-depth study note, which is just something that's a little bit more highlighted. It's in its own little square. It looks pretty. And it begins like this. It's called The Trinity in the Old Testament. Now, I can't believe they called it that. If I were to read you this whole thing that they've written, and I don't usually, totally insult areas of my New King James Study Bible, but this is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever read in my life, and I'm not going to read it all. So people can get... Now, look, and I do recommend... This is, by the way, this is the New King James Nelson Study Bible. It's, it's worth getting because they're fairly honest. They will tell you in the fine prints when there's trickery in the text. I find that really, really handy. But they also, it's one of the more Christological translations that I've ever used. And it's mostly in the way that they assert things into the text with the use of capitals, as it is in this case too. However, this is what they say. It says, when King Nebuchadnezzar exclaimed that the fourth man walking about in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was like the Son of God, it may be an overstatement to say that he recognized Jesus.
It may be an overstatement.
Might be an overstatement. That might be an overstatement. Yet, even though he worshipped other gods, Nebuchadnezzar somehow knew that this mysterious figure was divine.
Uh-huh.
Now, think about that for a second. There's three guys that he just chucked into the fire. The guys that chucked these guys into the fire, they're dead. That's how big the fire is. But somehow, the New King James tells us, somehow Nebuchadnezzar perceived that the fourth person was divine. No kidding. You reckon?
Yeah.
You reckon he's divine? Like the guy that wasn't there before but now is, and they're in there walking around, you reckon perhaps there's something going on that's just a little bit supernatural here? What do you reckon?
Maybe it happens every other week for him,
New King James, good heavens. And if I was to read the rest of these people, we'd only walk away dumber. So I'm not going to... I'm not going to read the rest of this rubbish. I can't believe it. I'm going to put this over here. Man. But what I did do, I thought, well, I'm going to go, believe it or not, Keith will be proud of me. I went to the NIV, Mr. Spiritual Babies, to see what they said. Now, I'm going to read the verse from the NIV. It says, he said, look, this is verse 25. I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods. All in lowercase. Mm-hmm. Every other translation that I looked at, by the way, and this is, of course, the NIV, but the New American Standard says, looks like a son of the gods, lowercase. The English Standard Version, a son of the gods, lowercase. The Holman Christian Version, the son of the gods, lowercase. But I'm just painting the picture because a lot of people would be going, I was always told that this was Jesus. I thought this was Jesus. Why did I think that? Well, because translations like the New King James and people who had that translation ran with it, and that's what they told you, and we just always believed it. So
to quote the song, because my Bible tells me so.
Yeah, that's it. So 325, in the study notes of my NIV study Bible, it says, Nebuchadnezzar was speaking as a pagan polytheist and was content to conceive of the fourth figure as a lesser heavenly being sent by the all-powerful God of the Israelites. Now, I find myself in total agreeance with the NIV in their study notes in this particular case. What do you reckon?
Yep. One thing that concerns me a little bit, though, is later on he says, praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel. Mm-hmm. Now, did Nebuchadnezzar recognize the divine being as an angel of the Hebrew understanding of what an angel would look like?
So my understanding is that the word for angel, which really is messenger, which mm-hmm. is malak, right, is the same word in the Aramaic. Whether it has the same definition, I don't know enough about the Babylonian religion to be able to comment on that.
Sure.
But I'll tell you what I do know is that the New King James capitalized A in angel.
They love their caps, don't they?
They love their caps. Now, they didn't do that. They didn't do all the other translations that I looked at. It's all lowercase angel. And the interesting thing is that it's Nebuchadnezzar who comes to this conclusion. He says it looks like a son of the gods. And then he goes on to say that the God of the Israelites has sent one of his messengers to protect Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, the NIV makes a connection in the study notes to Psalm 91, verses 9 to 12. Do you want to go there? Yeah. Psalm 91, verses 9 to 12.
Because you have made Jehovah my refuge, the Most High, your dwelling place, no harm will come to you, no plague will come near your tent. For he will give his angels orders concerning you to protect you in all your ways. They will support you with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.
So it could be, and you know, I think that's a fair connection to make. It could be that here is such an occurrence where these three guys are cast into the fire. A messenger is there to protect them in however form that takes. Lo and behold, there's a messenger of God there.
And in a strange twist of events, I'm going to quote from Hebrews.
Go on. You're kidding me. We're going to Hebrews now?
I know. My software for this particular one is pointing me to Hebrews. And it's Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve those who are going to inherit salvation?
Oh, there you go.
So that even the Christian software, to be fair, I'm using points towards angel in that instance.
Yeah. So now this brings me back to the beard. Does that mean that the messengers of Jehovah have big rockin' beards?
Yeah, of course they do.
There it is. Absolute proof. Yes. Why not?
Yeah, everyone
absolute
have beards.
Proof that the messengers of Jehovah have awesome beards. We can move on. That's what this is all about. Now, so the question remains, so is he describing Nabu? I'm not so sure that he is. I kind of like the way that NIV says that the fourth figure was a lesser heavenly being sent by the all-powerful God of the Israelites. I don't know that he's necessarily talking about Nabu. However, I do like the idea that messengers have rockin' beards. This is what the JPS says in verse 25, and I'm kind of liking the way that they have it. He answered, it says, but I see four men walking around unbound and unharmed in the fire, and the fourth looks like a divine being. Mm. There you go.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I think that's fair. And it is simply an angel of Jehovah.
Cool. Yep. The I love that the three guys here, they don't assume that they're going to survive. They think they will.
Mm.
But you know that they're, you know, if Jehovah wants us to perish in this furnace, that's fine. That's his will for me, and I'm willing to take that on. And if it brings me out, that's all good too. But what they won't do is kind of prostitute their faith for salvation. And I think that's pretty awesome.
That is awesome.
Which maybe leads me on to a fantastic article I found.
Please.
Okay, so I found this really awesome article from 1656. And I'm reading it through. I could draw some parallels to perhaps how religion interacts with scripture. Okay. Mm. In 17th century England, there was a movement called the Quakers, and there are some still around now. And this is a story of some Quakers that were brought before a council. And this is written by George Fox in the Journal in 1656. When we were brought before the court, we stood a while with our hats on, and all was quiet, and I was moved to say, "Peace be among you." Judge Glynn, a Welshman, then Chief Justice of England, said to the jailer, "What be these you have brought before the court?" "Prisoners, my lord," said he. "Why do you not put off your hats?" said the judge to us. We said nothing. "Put off your hats," said the judge again. Still, we said nothing. Then the judge said, "The court commands you to take off your hats." Then I spoke and said, "Where did ever any magistrate, king, or judge from Moses to Daniel command any to put off the hats when they came into his court, either amongst the Jews, the people of God, or among the heathens? And if the law of England doth command any such thing, show me the law, either written or printed." Then the judge grew very angry and said, "I will not carry my law books on my back." But said I, "Tell me where it is printed in any statute book that I might read it." Then said the judge, "Take them away, prevaricator. I'll ferk him." You'll have to Google ferk. F-E-R-K, so there's no upsetting kids.
Thanks for clarifying that.
So they took us away and put us among the thieves. Presently he called to the jailer, "Bring them up again." "Come," said he, "where have they hats from Moses to Daniel? Come and answer me, I have you fast now." I replied, "Thou mayest read in the third of Daniel that three children were cast into the fiery furnace by Nebuchadnezzar's command, with their coats, their hose, and their hats on." This plain instance stopped him, so that not having anything else to say at this point, he cried again, "Take them to the jailer." And I loved that. I loved that if this is a mirror, that he used the perfect example of some people who held fast to what he believed was the authority of the text, was brought before a court that, although he would abide by, he knew intrinsically what his rights were and weren't, and used the example of these three guys that would only bow to their God to say that we're not going to take our hats off for this room. And I thought that was pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Points to the Quakers.
Absolutely.
Yeah, points to the court. I mean, obviously, there's no law that says you must wear a hat, but there's no law that says they must take it off. And if it was a sign of their being zealous for their religion and they leave their hats on, then they were willing to bear the repercussions for that.
And what's really cool in this is that the judge is wrong, but uses his position to enforce something, so he gets respect from his audience. Mm. And I thought that was really cool.
That is really cool. And he cited the book of Daniel chapter 3. And what is it now? This is verse 21. These men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments. There you go.
So they kept the hat on.
That's pretty good. They kept on the hat. You know what? I'd love to wear a turban.
With a beard?
Oh. Yeah, a turban and a beard. I reckon it's a pity that in, you know, Western civilization, we don't, you know, the turban's kind of underrated. I'd love to wear a turban.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
A linen turban.
And you could keep your sandwiches under it.
You could do all sorts of, you could have a little bird's nest on top.
Oh, that would be lovely, wouldn't it?
It's a turban and a big rocking beard.
I'm going to start a new movement.
Go on. You should. You start it there in Ireland, see how you go. If it catches on, I'll do it here. You've been listening to Spiritual Baby Speed Study. I hope that clears things up for everyone, because we had quite a number of requests for that one there, but There it is.
If anyone's got any other ideas about specific passages that they want us to look at, then you can let us know.
Let us know. And you can do that by leaving a comment. There you go.
Awesome. Okay, I think we're done.
Thanks, boys and girls. Until next time, be blessed and be set apart by the truth of our Father's word. Shalom.